Let me invite you over to the book of Psalms, and we want to look at Psalm 143, verse 8. Psalm 143, verse 8.
All right. Psalm 143, verse 8 reads this way. It says, "Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne this evening, asking your blessings on your word, Lord, that you might open up our hearts and minds to hear from you. Lord, that you might direct our paths in the way that we should walk, in a way that would honor and glorify you and allow us to be the light you've called us to be. So, Lord, we pray your blessings on Northwood Baptist Church, that you would build her for your honor and glory. Lord, that we might truly be pliable servants in your hands to follow you in your will and your way for our lives. And we'll be careful to give you the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. And so tonight, as we consider our text, it is a Psalm of David. And the title of the message tonight is The Cause of Spiritual Success. And we can also call it The Cause of Spiritual Success from David, a man after God's own heart. That's what we want to know. People that follow the Lord, that they might show us the way, and they're following the Lord. And so, three thoughts tonight. What is the cause of spiritual success? Well, we'll take note here that there is a time of morning prayer. That's important. If we want to have spiritual success, it's important that we meet with the Lord every morning, because from that moment on, if you get started in your day, you'll find out you won't have time to pray, and you'll miss out on God's leadership in your life. So morning prayer is an important time. By the way, afternoon and evening is a good time as well, three times a day. We get a lot of biblical examples of that. And then a time of meditation on the glory of God is a way of success, spiritual success, or the cause of it. And then a time of personal deliverance in prayer, right? Time of personal deliverance, and that's really a prayer life that God wants to deliver us from our enemies and even from ourselves, right? We don't want to get in God's way and stifle him and stop him from fulfilling his will in our lives. So let's consider this a time of morning prayer. And notice verse 1. He says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications," plural, in thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness." Isn't that good? He is looking to the faithfulness and the righteousness of God to perform what he's promised. And of course, we know, as we considered our text here, that this is David, a man after God's own heart, and he is wanting to understand to a greater extent the heart of God and his will for his life. And so verse 2 says, "Enter not into judgment with thy servant." Don't, you know, "Lord, I need your mercy, for in thy sight shall no man living be justified." In other words, if we got what we deserved, we'd all be guilty. And so we need the righteousness of God. Verse 3, "For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead." And by the way, listen, David at one point in his life was his own worst enemy when he sinned against the Lord with Bathsheba, and where he committed Uriah, her husband, to death, right? He was guilty of murder. So he was his own worst enemy, and he needed deliverance from himself. And a lot of theologians tell us that it was about a year before he got things right and ask the Lord to renew within him a right heart before the Lord. And so a lot of times we think, well, the enemy is from without. That's true. A lot of times that is the truth. But realize that we can also stop and hinder God's work in our own lives. So we must be reminded that, "Lord, I need you to deliver me from me sometimes," right? Verse 3, "For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate." This is an emotional distress, really, in his life. He said, "I'm overwhelmed. I'm just overwhelmed, and I don't know where to go." But he did, didn't he? Because he's calling upon the Lord and asking him to help him with these needs. So this is a time where he is praying, right? The first three words there of verse 1, "Hear my prayer, God," right? "Oh Lord, hear my prayer. I need you." And you know what? God's promised to hear our prayers when we call upon him. Secondly, a time of meditation on the glory of God. What does that mean? Well, the things that God has accomplished. We serve a all-powerful, almighty God. Amen? He's not just a God that is somewhere off on the sidelines. Some people believe that God got the clock all wound up, but now it's up to us to keep it going. I'd hate to walk in that kind of nonsense. God is the one that holds everything in His hands, even our next heartbeat, and we thank the Lord for that. Verse 5 says this, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. Notice, I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. And he says, Selah. His works of old. Well, what did he do? Well, in the beginning, God created everything. Amen? And then he called Abraham. He was an idolater and made him a righteous man where he created a righteous people, by the way, who were taken into captivity. You ever stop and think about, you know, that was part of God's plan. And the reason for those things and the reason for trials in our lives and those kinds of experiences is to humble us. And what does that mean? Well, to cause us to not go in our own understanding and our own strength. That's our nature. It's easy for us to do that. But Lord, may I not do that. And so why were the Israelites in Egypt for over 430 years? That they might learn to wait upon the Lord and that He is faithful even when it doesn't make sense to us. Now, here's the thing. Realize this. There were people that died in the captivity of Egypt. They did. They died there. But they were the people of God. But let me ask you this question. Do you think any of them today would question, what were you doing, God, that are in heaven in the presence of the Lord? Now, some of them wondered, no doubt, while they were on this earth, Lord, what are you doing? Why is this happening to us? And that's okay, but ultimately, Lord, I trust you, right? I don't understand, but I certainly want to trust you and walk humbly before you. God promises, amen, that there isn't anything that we experience on this side of eternity, and there are some tough things that God says won't be able to be compared with the splendor and the glories and the things that He has in store for us that love Him. I have to believe that, or I'd go crazy. It's the truth. I have peace in believing that. God confirms that this is the truth. This is the right place. And so we need that today. And so he says, again, he says, verse 7, hear me speedily, O Lord, my spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. In other words, those who are condemned that have no hope. Cause me, this is important, cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the what? Morning. In the morning, right? Cause me. Well, how are we going to hear His loving kindness if we're not calling on Him? We're not going to hear it. So, Lord, I need to hear from You first thing in the morning. First thing in the morning, Lord, I need You to direct my paths. You know what I've discovered? When I don't call upon the Lord and when I'm not seeking the Lord, it's easy for me to not commit a sin or something like that, but to miss out on that relationship and that fellowship with the Lord. Lord, I need You every day, and by the way, every moment of every day. So He says, cause me to hear Thy loving kindness in the morning, for in Thee do I trust. That reveals our trust, doesn't it? Lord, I need You. How much do I need You? Well, I need You every day, but it begins in the morning, and so therefore, I call upon You in the morning to walk with me and to lead me in Your way. So He says, cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul. Right? We're to love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our mind, and all of our what? That's everything that is within me. Amen? That is everything to God. And so we find the way of success is a time of morning prayer, a time of meditation on the glory of God, all the things that He has done. We serve an almighty God. Everything that He has done in the Bible is true. Amen. Isn't it? It's true. And you know what? When we reflect on everything that He has done in the old days, these are the old days in the Bible, we can look at all the glory of the Lord. By the way, we can look at even George Washington. You know, he made a testimony. You know, there was an Indian chief that made a testimony in the French and Indian War. George Washington went out to battle, and there were I don't know how many officers, all of them were wounded, and many of them died. They're officers. And George Washington was one of those officers that was moving with General Braddock, if you remember your history, and he was riding up and down before the troops to encourage them to stand strong fighting against the French and the Indians that were trying to overtake their land. And so after the battle was done, he noticed 4 bullet holes in his jacket that went through. But they never touched him. In fact, they wrote a little book that used to be taught in all the public schools up until about 1950 or so, called The Bulletproof George Washington. But here's what happened. Some 20 or 30 years, I don't remember the exact amount of years that went by, they were honoring George Washington, and this one Indian chief, there were many Indian chiefs that were involved in the French and Indian War there, but one chief wanted to pay homage to George Washington. And he said, I wanted to meet the man, and I'm paraphrasing this, in whom the God of heaven said will not die in the battlefield. He said, I want you to know, I commanded my warriors to only go after all of the officers, because if they're done with, the rest of the army won't know what to do. And he says, I myself took several shots at you, and I'm a good shot, and I don't know why you didn't fall down other than the God of heaven preserved your life. So God is still at work today. Amen? Boy, you don't hear that anymore. And that's the truth. And by the way, there's still a little publication of the Bulletproof George Washington that's out and about. I've got a copy of it. Amen? And I thank the Lord that God was faithful even to him. He was a man of true humility that said, listen, God is the one that builds a nation. God is the one that blesses the life of individuals. Amen? If we put our faith and trust in him and call upon him. Last thought, ready? A time of personal deliverance in prayer. From our enemies, of course, and from ourselves. Verse 9, think of that. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. And again, it could be us. And what is an enemy? Not just an enemy that does physical bodily harm to us, but anything that would keep us from drawing near to the Lord would be an enemy, wouldn't it? I mean, obviously we're not our own enemy unless we're doing something that is causing us to be driven further away from the presence of the Lord. We don't want to do that. So he says, deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. I flee unto thee to hide me. That's good. Teach me to do thy will. Did you see that? Teach me to do thy will. We need the Lord to teach us. Listen, it's one thing to know the will of God. It's something else for the Lord to teach us to be faithful in those things. See, Lord, I don't want to be a floundering failure of a Christian. Amen? I want to be a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only way to do that is to certainly have our faith and trust that God will perform that which he's promised in our lives, and that we call upon him to teach us, right? Verse 10, teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Listen, thy spirit is good. Amen. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. I want to do that which is upright. I don't want to be underhanded about anything. I don't want to fool myself and try to say, well, this is okay. You know, no. Is it what God would have us to do? That's what's important. Lord, I want to be upright in what you've commanded, because the Lord knows everything in our inward parts, does he not? He knows exactly what we're about. And I want everything to be upfront and open. Lord, I don't want to be disingenuous with you. I don't want to be covert. I don't want to be underhanded with you. I want you to glorify yourself in my life. And I'm presenting myself a living sacrifice. And the only way that you can do that is to be willing to deny the flesh and die to self. And the Lord does that work. Lord, I want to die to self. And you have to be able to detect that. When you have to be able to distinguish the flesh from the spirit. Because even in the life of a believer, so what was guiding David when he sinned with Bathsheba? Was it the spirit or the flesh? It was the flesh. What was it when he called Uriah? Come on over here. Let me give you some wine, and let me give you some food. And what was he trying to do? He was trying to cover up his sin. But what happened? It didn't work, did it? But you know what? He thought it did. He thought it would be okay. All right, so now he says, fall back from Uriah, and he dies. And then after that, then go ahead and strengthen your brethren. Well, there's something wrong there, isn't there? And so finally he came to the place to where he said in Psalm 51, Lord, restore within me a right heart. Amen. And so we need to be careful even with ourselves. So he says, verse 11, quicken me. That means make me alive. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. Now, let me ask you this. Is David saved? He is saved, but why is he asking for the Lord to make him alive? Isn't he already alive? Yes, he is physically alive, but he wanted the life of the Spirit of God. And because he knew from past experience, listen, when he went out against Goliath, remember what Goliath said to him? He said, oh, listen, I'm going to make you bird food, right? I'll make you animal food. And he said, you come to me with your in the name of your gods and in you, with your sticks and, and spears. I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. And he said, today, God's going to deliver you into our hands. Today, your head's coming off. How did he know that? The Spirit of God. How did he know to go out against Goliath? The Spirit of God was moving him. How did he know he had the victory? You've heard the story before. He picked up five smooth stones because Goliath had five brothers. That is probably right. But there were only, how many stones did it take to bring down Goliath? Just one. Just one stone. Why? Because the Spirit of God led it to where it needed to go. And the Spirit of God will lead us where we need to go. So he says, quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. Verse 12. And of thy mercy cut off mine enemies, and destroy all them that afflict my soul, for I am thy servant. Lord, I don't want any interference in my relationship with you. Lord, I want you, because of your mercy, I want you to cut off mine enemies and destroy how many of them that afflict my soul? All of them. All of them. Let me ask you this. Can we afflict our own soul? We can. And so listen, we need to ask the Lord to deliver us from ourselves, that we don't condemn ourselves and that we don't afflict ourselves and walk in a way that would dishonor the Lord and not be upright before him. Lord, I need you in a powerful way. And you know, David is saying, if this takes place, a man after God's own heart is telling us the way to draw near to God. And if we're drawing near to God, will we not have spiritual success? Amen. We will. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. We do thank you for your word, for the wisdom, the understanding that it brings to our hearts and minds. And Lord, I ask that you would just guide us as a body of believers and as individual parts of that body to walk in all of your ways in every area of our life, that we might call upon you to fulfill your will. And Lord, that we would just lay our lives out before you, that you might guide us in every area and be glorified in that. Again, bless, build Northwood for your honor and glory, and all of your churches, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.